We meet the new president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which held its lobbying day at the Capitol last week. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's go to the final day of our winter member drive. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Hi, Lee.
Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. And we're here to say this is the last day of our winter member drive. Listener donations are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. And if you've been meaning to give, now's the time. This is the 11th hour because the drive ends at 6 o'clock. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we're getting started this morning with some goals. Our goal this hour is to get 15 gifts through the door. And the goal is important. It's set to make sure we have the funding we need for the programs that you rely on.
That's right. We'll meet this goal one donation at a time. Let's start with yours on this final day at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Now, you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars, and we do get funding from the federal government and from the state, and it really is voluntary listener contributions that makes up the largest source of funding for WPR programs.
And that means your support is absolutely vital to keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And so now that you realize just how important your piece is, make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there's the things that are important to you, you know, family, friends, hobbies, things that you invest in, things you put your time in, and sometimes your money. And giving to what's important to you, it makes a difference in your life, and it makes you feel good.
Makes you definitely feel good. The biggest source of funding for WPR is listener support. So your gift makes a really big difference in your life. And it has the ripple effect in the lives of hundreds of thousands of other listeners. So together, we make an impact on our community. Make your difference today with your first ever gift of $10 a month or $120. It's at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
It's the last day of our winter member drive, and we have an exciting drawing. You'll be entered to win $500 to spend at your favorite sporting goods store when you make a gift of any amount for the WPR programs you love. Upgrade your outerwear or try a new winter hobby. You'll have five chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can send in a postcard with your name, address, email, and phone to WPR Sporting Goods Drawing, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Better yet, you're automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount. Here's how.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation to get entered to win. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn, and it is your support during this winter member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of, say, $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And we've made it easy. All it takes is just a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount, say $10 a month.
And that donation will come back to you again and again, every day in the form of engaging programs in, you know, programs that really move you and make you think. Show your support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and give as generously as you can.
We've got about 50 minutes left this hour, and we're still looking for 15 more people to join us. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting programs you love, your donation enters you into that exciting drawing. Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. Ooh, I know. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, you're covered. You're automatically entered.
Perfect. But if you're not a sustainer, well, then today's the day to become one. And in fact, right now is the time to become one. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552, and you'll provide ongoing support for the programs you love and get automatically entered in the drawings we have during member drives.
Well, James in Hudson says, I listen to WPR every day and rely on WPR for accurate news, especially regarding the state of Wisconsin. Keep up the good work, James says. Thank you so much, James. Join James. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thank you so much for your support. Now to the state capitol report. The Wisconsin Farmers Union held a virtual lobbying day Thursday at the Capitol, working to advance legislative priorities with state lawmakers. We'll talk about that. Bills involving things like clean water and climate change, food insecurity, and farmer mental health. What should the state do to help support small and mid-sized family farms? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 for conversation. Rick Adamski is the new president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which advocates on behalf of family farmers and rural communities. Rick, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, good morning. Let's start with your farm, 290 acres with grass-fed beef cattle. You grow vegetables, raise hogs and hens. How will your background with your farm inform how you'll lead the union?
It's just basically my experience and the evolution of my life has been leading me to this point as president of the Farmers Union. I've been advocating for family farm agriculture all of my life, and it's being challenged by so many forces, and we think that there is a great opportunity, that there are some changes that are in the horizon. So it's just a very important issue, because at risk is so many other factors: our environment, our political environment, our relationship with our neighbors, our relationship with the businesses that we do.
One of the forces that I'm sure that you feel is in the beef area, beef cattle, and in meat processing. There being four major corporations in the American meatpacking industry, how much leverage do they have over cattle markets, over the prices they'll pay for livestock?
Very much. There, in a nutshell, that's the essence of the challenge that organizations like Wisconsin Farmers Union and others are raising, the issue that the concentration of meat packers is not only difficult for the customers who are being forced to not see competitive pricing. The meat packers only have a few processors. The four largest meat packers control 85% of the beef market today. And it's very difficult for farmers to realize competition. There are areas around the state, around the country, and in Wisconsin, where there is only one market to go to. And we think that it's very well known. The markets are transparent, but it's very well known that that can be determined ahead of time, and buyers, if there's only one buyer in a particular area, that gives the grower no flexibility. If you add on that the fact that farmers are growing perishable commodities, whether it be grains or vegetables or any food product, is perishable. So we don't have the option of holding on to it and waiting for a better price. And they know that. The buyers know that.
So if ranchers and beef cattle farmers are being squeezed out, perhaps, you know, going bankrupt, how do you restore competition? How do you bring that transparency and more dynamic pricing?
Well, I can't help but talk about the history of National Farmers Union beginning in 1902, when there was an effort by Texas farmers to realize that they were only having one railroad company to transport their goods to market. And they created National Farmers Union. Wisconsin was chartered in 1930. Mm-hmm. It's a lifelong struggle, because the power is immense with those who have power today. We think that we have some insights that ever since that 1902 and before, there have been efforts made to make some of the regulations enforced, and that more transparency in the marketplace is an avenue. We think that what we saw in 1902, by the way, 1902 was just a few years before Upton Sinclair wrote The Jungle. It was 1906 he wrote that novel, which really exposed the wage slavery that workers in meatpacking plants were dealing with. I'm not saying that things are as terrible as that today, but there are a lot of parallels. There have been regulations that have been enacted, like the Growers and Stockyards Act, but it has not been enforced. And we need enforcement of existing rules. There is discussion about that. We're encouraging our Departments of Justice to, at both the states and at the federal level, to enforce some of these rules that are on the books so that the markets are more transparent.
What effect has the pandemic had on all of this, especially on these small and medium-sized farms?
Well, the pandemic has, like everything else, it has challenged the situation for many people across the country, across the world. The pandemic has exposed some of the linkages in the supply chain that have exposed the weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, one of them is the processing facilities, where processing facilities are very intense, rapid processing of meat, animal product, and the employees work side by side. The majority of the workers are immigrant labor, people who come from other countries to find an opportunity to work here. And they don't have a lot of negotiating power. That's why they would show up at the processing facilities when things were sick. That's why meat processing plants were shut down. That's why the president at the time put an executive order in place to mandate that the processing facilities stay open. And that's why we think that we need a more resilient meat processing sector.
I was going to say, let's pause right there with Rick Adamski, elected new president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union earlier this month. We'll continue this conversation ahead here on the Ideas Network. We're learning about the policy priorities of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, which has a new leader. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now let's check in on the final push of our winter member drive. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and your support is so important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and up to date and entertained.
That's right, Kate. That's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. And you've been meaning to give. Today's the last day of our member drive, so do it now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
About 40 minutes left this hour. We're looking for 10 more people to join in. When you give, you fund the morning show, you fund all the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now on this final day, final hours, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We wake up with Kate in the morning show every morning, and our morning wouldn't be the same without the interesting guest talking about a wide variety of topics, things I want to hear, things I didn't even know was happening. The Idea Network is here when your alarm clock wakes you up to it, or while you share breakfast in the kitchen with us, or drive to work with us. Your support makes these morning conversations possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We put a lot of focus on becoming a sustainer in this drive. And when you make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card, that's how it happens. And here's a really nice benefit. As a sustainer, you're automatically entered in member drive drawings.
This could be your lucky drive. This one right now, today, five lucky people will win a $250 NPR shop gift card. Whether you're looking for apparel or home decor, I had my eye on the French press and the bathrobe. NPR Shop has something for every public radio fan, so start your ongoing monthly gift today. You'll be entered in this drawing and all future ones when you become a sustainer at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive supports the programs you love in style with the new WPR t-shirt. This super comfy light blue t-shirt will showcase your love of Wisconsin's nature and WPR. It'll be your new favorite way to show off your WPR pride. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
Kate, I did some math here. A $10 a month contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio works out to just 33 cents a day. Find a better value than that.
Make a gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552, and you will get so much in return.
When 10 more people support WPR programs in the next 32 minutes or so, we'll meet our goal. And WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
How about pointing you to this lovely 2022 WPR t-shirt, USA made, printed right here in Wisconsin. Give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and the t-shirt is yours.
That t-shirt comes in Larry Mueller's eye color blue.
That is I remember learning that.
According to Larry Mueller himself, so you're going to want to pick one of those up. And if you're a sustaining member making ongoing monthly gifts, I want to thank you. But make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now to the State Capitol Report and the legislative priorities of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Its new president is Rick Adamski of Seymour, taking over for Darren Van Ruden, who had served as president since 2010, now shifting over to vice president. Have you watched the organization's new Get Loud video? It asks a central question, what kind of food system do you want? Let's discuss it right here, 800-642-1234. Conversation is here, 800-642-1234. Rick Adamski stays with us. Rick, let's shift over to dairy policy. And we saw Governor Evers signing an export bill in December that really aims to increase the value of Wisconsin milk and dairy products that go overseas. What should be done in the dairy sector?
Well, Wisconsin Farmers Union has a dairy policy reform initiative. It's a special order of business this year. And one of the things that we want to do is to elevate milk prices for farmers. We want to prevent overproduction, and we want to stabilize prices and avoid these wild, rapid fluctuations. The export bill will help that. I think there are some fundamental things that need to be brought into play. Farmers need to be at the table in terms of production to manage the growth of the industry rather than being left with whatever happens to the industry. And dairy policy is foundational to Wisconsin. So absolutely, we are, those are items that need to be enhanced. First and foremost is elevating prices and stabilizing price and controlling the growth.
You know, when Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack was in Wisconsin in December promoting the dairy margin coverage program, and we can talk more about that, but he made this point that dairy farmers have to get on the same page. They have to find consensus on dairy policy reforms before the USDA will really act. How do you plan to find that common ground with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau?
Actually, the Wisconsin Farmers Union has been acting on that for the past few years, we've got an initiative called the Dairy Together Program, and we have been working with Farm Bureau, and we have been working with other agricultural agencies to find that common ground. I think I draw a similar analogy to our Wisconsin Farmers Union. We've got many diverse members, and yet it is, I see my role as one of the leaders in this organization to sift and winnow through the ideas and opinions of our members and get to that common ground. That's why we have a policy discussion at our convention, and that's why we raise and represent the Wisconsin Farmers Union, not Rick Adamski. I think to achieve that, we have to look upstream, see what is the cause of the problems, realize and recognize and accept and work together on those issues that we see the problems to be. And I think we have that commonality with many farm organizations. Again, the Dairy Together program is one of those, bringing people together from different organizations.
Looking at policy, some clean water bills in the legislature, a collection of them, they would give grants to farmers to reduce nitrogen and runoff, promote cover crops, replace or improve contaminated wells. What legislative action is really key in your mind regarding clean water?
Well, those bills are certainly beneficial. Producer-led watersheds have been instrumental in helping farmers realize that there are things that we can do. We all, as farmers, depend upon good, clean water quality to be able to move forward and have a good quality of life. The nitrogen utilization efficiency is something that needs to be raised up and worked on with many farmers, because nitrogen is a very slippery element, and it's not present in its state where it occurs, whether it be in the liquid form or as ammonium or nitrates, and it either is vulnerable to dissipating into the atmosphere back as nitrogen gases or mm-hmm. being leached into the groundwater.
Rick, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Of course, there's so many more things to talk about.
But there is indeed.
Appreciate
it. Rick Adamski, newly elected president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. For disclosure, Wisconsin Farmers Union is a business sponsor of WPR. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We are exploring the work of the Equal Rights Division of Wisconsin's Workforce Development Agency here on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. First, let's take a moment to check in on the final hours of our winter member drive at WPR. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we really don't have much longer to ask for your support. Listener support is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs you love, and that is why your gift now in these final hours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We have about 25 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for six more people to join in. We can do it. We'll get there with your help. And if you've already given, thank you.
And if you haven't, give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Every Monday morning on the morning show at 7 o'clock, we have the State Capitol Report for you. And we just heard from Rick Adamski, the new president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. In 30 minutes, we got an update on the meatpacking industry, the dairy processing in Wisconsin, environmental regulations, water, and more. These are the kinds of conversations you can count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and it means that your donation today, now, in these final hours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the State Capitol Report that you join us for possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
It's all about you. As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on, say, food, takeout, entertainment, for instance, things you appreciate that make life a little bit easier. and better, just like listening to WPR. So the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Makes me feel very good to be a sustainer.
Makes me feel like I'm a part of what's happening.
I know it's a valuable service.
I like being a sustainer because it helps contribute to the Wisconsin idea.
I like being a sustainer because I just like knowing that my money will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come.
Ooh, and I like sustainer voices. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And it's why your support during this winter member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose on this final day, that is the right amount.
And then you get bragging rights. That's right. After you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling all your friends and family.
And whether you use social media or you call them up on the old telephone, mention it when you see them, just letting your family and friends know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their minds. So make your gift, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
You bet. Send it in a text. There's just a little more than 20 minutes left this hour, and we're still looking for six more people to join us. You make WPR possible with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
How about that exciting drawing? Five lucky people will receive $500 to spend at their favorite sporting goods store. No contribution is necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details. And better yet, you're automatically entered when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. To and sustainers, those of you making ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much, and you're automatically entered.
With this last day of the drive, if you're not a sustainer, today would be a perfect day to become one now. It's easy to set up monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll provide the ongoing support for programs you love and get automatically entered in all the drawings we have during member drives.
Kay in Pewaukee says, I'm a longtime WPR listener. And get this, even our dog is an informed listener.
Of course,
it's the dog, right? Your gift is powerful, and so is your dog's knowledge. WPR.org, and thank you for your support. Now to the work of the Equal Rights Division, one of the six divisions within the Department of Workforce Development. Its work involves administering laws banning discrimination in employment, in housing, and the state's family and medical leave law. It enforces laws pertaining to minimum wage, to overtime pay, prevailing wage rates, among other duties. What questions do you have about filing an equal rights complaint, or what would warrant further investigation or mediation? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Jesus Villa is administrator of the Equal Rights Division. Jesus, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, can you start by giving us some circumstances, occasions when someone or perhaps some organization would reach out to the Equal Rights Division for help? What would they encounter?
Sure. Well, so we enforce over 40 different laws, and they include the laws you described, laws pertaining to fair employment, but also labor standards, and also things like fair housing and employee leave. We get calls both from workers and job seekers who are concerned about their rights and whether they have been violated. But we also get calls from employers, from small business owners, from HR professionals, who are looking to better understand the law and their responsibilities. It starts with a phone call or an email, typically, and you get connected to one of our equal rights officers that starts explaining what the situation might be. And then you can decide if you believe that your rights are violated, you can decide that maybe you want to start a complaint process, which starts an investigation.
What kind of volume do you encounter for these calls, for these complaints, for these inquiries?
Well, it varies monthly, but to give you a sense, in 2021, we processed over 4,300 complaints. So those were the calls that actually ended up resulting in complaints, and that's both labor standards and civil rights complaints. One of the things that a lot of people don't know about Wisconsin is that our Equal Rights Division, and we're what they call a Fair Employment Practices Agency, but we're one of the most productive fair employment practice agencies in the country, meaning that we process more complaints and we handle more things. And not because Wisconsin has more issues, but because our agency is set up to be that robust and we don't just turn things over to the EEOC. We provide a meaningful alternative to the federal process.
You also have a new online system that's coming online. What impact will that have for, fielding online complaints?
So, yes, and in fact, the online system is online. As of last October, we can receive our labor standards complaints, our civil rights complaints entirely online. You don't have to print up a form, send it through the mail or anything. And that has been going since October. To give you an idea, our labor standards complaints, which started, we rolled that out in April, and we're currently getting about 75% of our complaints, our labor standards complaints, all getting filed online. And the reason we did that, very simply, is we want to make sure that for people who do have a concern, that they can access the system, that they can access their rights. And nowadays, it can be harder for many people to find a stamp, find a printer, find an envelope, than it is to pull up your smartphone, find our website, and fill out a form online.
I want to dig into mediation and what is the role of mediation as a tool in your toolbox for these complaints as they go through the investigation process and yield that there has been some type of issue here.
Sure. And thank you for bringing that up because we're very proud of our mediation program. Normally for a complaint, and I say normally meaning this is what happens if there's nothing else that occurs, the complaint can go forward to a hearing with an administrative law judge. As I mentioned, our process in Wisconsin is pretty robust, and that hearing process usually involves two parties conducting depositions and discovery, filing exhibits, and going through a full hearing. It's pretty involved. It can take a while. Mediation is a great alternative for many people. What mediation does is, first of all, it's completely voluntary. But if parties agree that they want to try to compromise toward a solution, then one of our judges can facilitate essentially a conversation between the parties that helps them find an acceptable middle ground. And usually it's without any party necessarily admitting fault, but recognizing that, you know, we can find a way to move forward and a way to solve this. That means getting through the process faster. Sometimes it means you can get more creative with how you resolve things because you're not just waiting for the judge to tell you, here's what you might get for damages or tell you you might get nothing. But I've seen mediations where parties are able to work things out creatively, such as, for instance, an employer agreeing to revamp training or a particular process as part of it. And like I said, we're very proud of it. It's something that we offer as a free alternative. So you're not, you're able to go and not hire a mediator out of pocket. Typically, it's faster than the hearing process, which translates into dollars and cents. But like I say, it can be very satisfying. We resolve about two-thirds of the cases that go to mediation. And ultimately, it's up to the parties, you know, whether they reach an agreement. But we're really proud of that track rate, that we're able to facilitate those conversations and get it to happen.
Jesus Villa with us, Administrator of the State Department of Workforce Development's Equal Rights Division, hearing more about what the division does. Let's go to Steve now in Sun Prairie with a question. Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I've looked at the past at the EEOC at the federal level and how many complaints are there relative to prosecution, and it's infinitely small. And I know the guest just talked about getting 4,000 calls, and I believe he said 2020. I could be wrong. How much actually ends up in a prosecution so that it's not mediation where a company would just say, I want this to go away even though I did nothing wrong? How much actually ends up in prosecution of the 4,000 calls?
Steve, thank you.
Yeah, thank you for the question, Steve. So in 2020, we did receive over 4,000 complaints, and 2021 was the 4,300 complaints that we got. Now, we do operate a little differently than the EEOC. If you file something with the federal EEOC, it will be investigated, and then one of two things typically happens. Either there's a determination there that says either we found something or we didn't find anything of concern, but here's your letter that allows you to file in federal court. So you're still on your own to file. And then sometimes the EEOC will engage in conciliation, or they assign it to an attorney to bring a lawsuit on your behalf. But that is a very small percentage of the cases that they do that. We operate differently at Equal Rights. So our process, once you go through the investigation, you still get that initial determination, which you can think of it like triage. Either we find that there's cause to believe a violation occurred, or that there isn't cause to believe a violation occurred. That's not the same as saying a violation occurred, but if there's cause, then the case moves forward to a hearing before a judge automatically. And if it goes all the way through hearing and there isn't any settlement, there isn't any resolution prior to that point, the judge analyzes the law, applies it to the facts as the parties present them, and makes a determination both whether there actually is a violation, and if so, what the right damages should be. So the percentage of cases that go all the way through that process, I can tell you from the ones that are get to the hearing, so starting the ones that are certified to hearing, about half of those cases get through that process. The other half, like I mentioned, do settle, and most of them through mediation.
You protect people in the rental or purchase of housing, our state's open housing law, and finding solutions where housing discrimination comes up. In the current state of housing, where communities are dealing with a lack of affordable housing, where you see housing prices just so elevated, so through the roof, do you see more discrimination in the environment we're in?
So it certainly is a danger, and it's something that we're very vigilant to. And our piece of the bigger puzzle around housing is focused in on harassment and discrimination, you know, and those civil rights violations. We always see a steady flow of that. It is, and we've been looking, I guess, to see if we suddenly see a spike. Fortunately, we've not seen a substantial spike, but part of that is because we've really tried to build more awareness and strengthen our partnerships with, for instance, the Department of Justice, to make sure that when those issues come up, people know their rights, they know their options, and maybe they can get resolved before it has to go into the full investigation.
I want to just dig into one type of case that has come up recently, and it's workers with disabilities. The ADA, of course, requires employers to make reasonable accommodations for workers, and there's been this wave of litigation involving employees with disabilities. What is your greatest concern there for protections for workers with disabilities in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. So Wisconsin similarly has a duty to accommodate, and what it requires is that there's an interactive process where the employee or job seeker explains what their restrictions are, and the employer is under an obligation to work with that employee to find a reasonable accommodation that allows the employee to perform their job. And it's not always the accommodation that the employee requests, but it has to be something that can help that employee or job seeker move forward and, mm-hmm. and do what they need to do. I think that the cases that we see that become problematic tend to be cases where the employer doesn't follow the steps. They make assumptions that if someone has a particular condition or restriction that, oh, we simply can't deal with that. And they don't go through that interactive process of really exploring. And I understand that it can be time consuming, but it doesn't have to be. And it's something that, again, if people reach out to our office, we can help them walk through that process and understand what steps are taken. Sometimes there aren't accommodations possible, but we find that most of the time when you're interactive and when you're trying things, there are a lot of solutions out there, and there are a lot of resources in the community that can help you think of things that you may not be aware of.
Jesus, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for the opportunity. I'm really proud of our work, and I hope more people check out our website and look up the resources that we're offering folks nowadays.
Jesus Villa, Administrator of the State Department of Workforce Development's Equal Rights Division. We have a link to it at WPR.org/mornings. This is the State Capitol Report, and you're listening to the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's turn to the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive in the final day. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. We're here to say your contribution keeps the morning show and WPR strong. $10 a month, $100 a month. Every gift in any amount makes a big difference. Donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And Kate, with just a few minutes left this hour, we have exceeded our goal.
Nice.
Outstanding. So
Excellent.
You don't need to donate anymore, be a member, that's fine. No,
but
let's keep it going. Your gift right now is so important. Even though we've met our goal, it's because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just heard from Jesus V, the administrator from the Equal Rights Division in the Department of Workforce Development, about what his job looks like. And where else would you find a conversation like this but on the morning show?
WPR is listener powered. It means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics you tune in for possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
We have beautiful new t-shirts this year printed right here in Wisconsin, mixing retro graphics with state pride. This light blue shirt features the sun, pine trees, and your go-to public radio station. So show off your WPR pride when you ask for your WPR t-shirt today. Just give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Sue German. I live in Middleton, Wisconsin. I feel like I've got a real personal connection to Wisconsin Public Radio. I had a brother who passed away several years ago. He had some mental health issues, but he was an avid listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Listening was a bright moment in his day. For that, I'm grateful. So great job. Thank you.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your gift. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Lee Rayburn. Your support during this winter member drive, it makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you set it at, that is the right amount.
I kid. We've met our goal this hour, but that's no reason not for you to continue to participate, because these goals are set up to make sure we have the funding to go forward. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you for being a WPR listener and contributor. And thank you to everyone who's already a member. It's listener support. Your support that makes WPR an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
That's right, Kate, because WPR is your radio home. So support it now. Make the news, the discussions, and music possible with your first ever gift of $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's the thing. If you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up. You'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love. Lee, take it away.
Your gift is powerful and it makes a huge difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you.